Well, I love a good song. Songs are one of those things that can resonate with your senses. The rhythm and the melodies, they express things in ways that words alone can't they? Songs can pour out the rawest of emotion and soothe restlessness in the human heart. You know, if the words of songs mean something, if they apply to our lives, perhaps there can be no better expression of our hearts. Now, I think songs are one of God's great gifts to us. And he's given us 150 of them there in the book of Psalms. But do these songs resonate? Do these songs resonate with our senses? Can we really sing the words of an ancient king or one of the other psalmists? We read Psalm 4 earlier. Can we honestly sing the words of David, or say them at least from the bottom of our hearts? Well, today we're going to see how David and his people moved from trembling to rest, and how Psalm 4 shows the way to rest in a restless world. But I want to lift the lid on the process of how we move from David, the solo singer, to each and every one of us rising to our feet, joining with God's people throughout history to sing this great anthem, proclaiming to the whole of creation that rest is found through God's appointed king. We'll listen to David as his solo voice is heard through the pages of our Bibles, and we'll think about what it might have meant for exiled Israelites to join in. And finally, we'll try to absorb the richness of Psalm 4 that it finds in the cross, so that we too might join the choir. So buckle in for the ride. There's an outline in your newsletter if you want to write some notes or follow along. First of all, David, the solo singer, the good king finds rest in a restless world. Well, right at the get-go, this psalm's got some intensity about it. It begins in desperation. David cries out. The distress almost oozes from the page. It rings in our ears. Answer me there in verse 1. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief in my distress. Have mercy on me. Hear my prayer. King David's in turmoil. People continually rejecting his rule. Now, we don't know exactly what circumstance made David write this, but it's like he's tired. Tired of the grief. How long will you people turn my glory to shame there in Psalm 2? His heart's troubled. But I want us to notice, though, he hasn't forgotten. You see, he cries out to God. David knows the character of God. David knows that God is righteous, that God will finish what he started. You see, God appointed David as king. You might remember that. We talked about it with the kids a few weeks ago from 1 Samuel 16. David knows that since it was God who made him king, he can be assured that God will keep him. People can love delusions and seek false gods as much as they like. In the end, God will vindicate him as the rightful king. The psalm might begin in turmoil, but at the same time we see David trusting God who has appointed him as king. But David isn't the only one in turmoil. You see, actually, David gives the opposition a serve there in verse 2. Then he tells them what he knows. He reminds them, and actually he reminds himself, and I think in the economy of poetry, he reminds his subjects of the truth in verse 3. No, that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself, the Lord listens when I call him. In other words, if you think ignoring God's going to go well for you, if you think ignoring his king's a good idea, you're a fool. You ought to be trembling. And that's perhaps why he says there in the next verse, tremble and do not sin. You ought to be afraid of what happens to God's opponents. Or maybe David's just speaking to his faithful subjects, saying, you might be scared of what the opposition will do. I get it. You might be angry about what the opposition's doing. I understand. Either way, everyone should turn away from sin. Now, the word sin is pretty generic, I know. It covers all sorts of wicked things that people are prone to do, doesn't it? But if we think for a moment about the context, we see David's upset about people loving delusions and seeking false gods. Sin here specifically rejects the true God. People rejecting the true God by rejecting the king that he appointed. David is saying, don't reject God. Tremble, but don't reject God. Instead, contemplate, search your hearts, the NIV says. Contemplate what God's done. Know the Lord listens to his king. And be silent. Or be still, as the King James puts it. In other words, stop opposing God and you'll stop trembling. Submit to God's king and you don't need to be afraid. David's God's good king shows people how to move from trembling to being still. David shows people how to find rest in a restless world. Now, David's song teaches people. Psalm 4 is kind of like a catechism. It teaches rest is found by doing as God says, by obeying the king when he says, get on with the thing that God commanded you. Do the sacrifices that were meant to atone for your sins. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust the Lord, there in verse 5. Well, then in verse 6, we have David returning his attention to prayer, returning his attention to God, and he says, many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? You see, the good king isn't just worried about himself. He cares for his people. He cares about their suffering. So he asks God for blessing. And notice he doesn't ask just for ordinary old material blessing. You see there in verse 6, he says, let the light of your face shine on us. I mean, this is like Aaron's blessing, the blessing that Aaron was to say to the Israelites in number 6. You're probably familiar with it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. This blessing's a request for God's presence, a much greater thing than material blessings. A blessing David knows will fill his heart and the heart of his people with joy even when the opposition prospers. A blessing that's better than when their grain and wine new wine abound. You see, for David, the ultimate rest in a restless world is to know God, to be under his rule. He knows that regardless of what trouble or heartache or pain or rebellion or whatever he might endure, he will endure. He will be victorious because his Lord, the only true God, does as he promises. And as a result, he says there in verse 8, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." So in this song, we can see that David is confident that rest comes in a restless world by following God's appointed king, obeying God. And it's tempting, maybe even legitimate, for us to kind of jump straight across to applying that directly onto our lives. And that's because we know Jesus is God's appointed ruler, don't we? Well, we're not going to do that, not just yet. You know, that'd be like going on a trip, but not taking the journey. You know, a few years back, my family and I went to Melbourne, and it was great to see Melbourne. It's the first time we'd been there. It was great to see Melbourne and our dear friends. But you know, the best part was the trip getting there. The time together in the car, the things we saw, cooking on a gas burner in a bathroom in a swanky motel so we didn't set the fire alarms off. Our trip wouldn't have been nearly as good without these things. You see, I want us to take the journey. I want us to think about what the psalm might have meant as it made its way through history. We're up to the second heading there in our outlines, and this is a quick one. I want us to think about how Israel joins in. Israel joins David in song. Israel finding rest in a restless world. You see, by the time the Psalms are collected, in the collection we have today, it's around the exile, give or take. Actually, David's dead. Israel's scattered all over the known world. It hardly seems God keeps them safe by following King David. How can they sing this song with conviction? Well, far from David's death ending the significance of the psalm, the Psalter, as it brings together the collection of psalms, reinforces the idea of a king, a good king, a king that God installs. And we see that in Psalm 2, verse 6. "I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain." You see, for Israel, David's the ideal king. You see, they look forward to a new king, but it's a king that descends from David, a Davidic reign that will be honoured by every nation on earth. The Israelites knew the promise God made to David in 2 Samuel 7. And it says, for your reference, "I will raise up your offspring. I'll establish his kingdom. He'll build a house for my name. And I'll establish the throne of his kingdom forever." As this psalm finds its way into the Bible, it becomes a liturgy, a catechism to remind God's people that the way to find rest in a restless world is to trust God. They too know that God has set apart a king, a future king, a king from the line of David that will bring peace to all nations. Israel sings generations later with David. Their song's the same. They sing because they know the ultimate rest in a restless world is to know God and be under his rule. Psalm 4 becomes this song of assurance, of regardless of what trouble or heartache or pain or rebellion or whatever they might face, God's king, their ideal king, will be victorious because the Lord, the only true God, does as he promises. We too can say, they too can say, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." Well, of course, as I mentioned at the start, we get to join the choir as well. We join the song, finding rest in a restless world at the cross of Jesus. Now, this is a beautiful thing about Psalms. At college, we've been doing them recently in a subject, and I just fell in love with the Psalms all over again. You see, instead of becoming old and irrelevant, they gain richness. They gain even more power as they pass down through the generations of God's family. The ideal king, the king God promised to David, the king Israel longed for, he's not just appointed by God, but God himself who became flesh. Jesus, God's appointed king, could have sung this psalm. As he comes to the cross, the Messiah sees the rebellion. He feels the rejection of the world just as David did. He knew the desertion that was about to come. He cried out to his father. We read it in Matthew chapter 26 this morning. My father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus, the good king, the ultimate king, knows that trusting his father, he knows that trusting the God of King David, who appointed him as king, will bring rest in this restless world. When the world turned the glory of Jesus to shame, when they loved the lies and sought false gods, Jesus, knowing the Father had set him apart, obeyed him and offered the sacrifice of the righteous. He offered himself there on the cross to purchase peace for all humanity. And today, he's the Davidic king concerned for his people. Jesus is the one God will hear as he prays for his people. Jesus is God's face shining on us, the very presence of God with us that David and Israel so longed for. So yes, we can join the choir. Psalm 4 is for us. And it's more than straining forward, more than longing for a rest in a restless world. No matter what causes our distress, whatever churns us up, whatever makes us tremble with fear or anxiety or anger, Psalm 4 reminds us that to find rest in this restless world, we trust God. We accept his appointed king, the Lord, the only true God who does as he promises. So, brothers and sisters, hear the song of David. Sing the song of David. Tremble, but do not fear. Tremble, but do not sin. In your fear, in your anger, in your trouble, do not reject God's appointed king. You see, he's the one who's brought you rest. The ultimate peace, the most important peace, peace with God. Just yesterday morning, I read an article on my ABC news feed. It's called, I tried living like a successful executive. It broke my brain. The writer, Carolyn, talks about how she bought the idea of self-optimization, the idea that success is all about living a lifestyle on the run, getting up at 5 a.m, running 10 kilometres, downing a green smoothie, and then working for 15 hours. This is what she writes. I'd come to worship at the altar of successful executives whose daily habits include setting aggressive deadlines, making sure that the mental break you get during exercise is used effectively to visualise success, and triangulating data and preparing for sudden movements. It almost broke my heart to read that. This is a human being, so knotted up about their life and their pursuit of success. She had been drawn into the lie, the delusion, the false god of success, and it left her life restless. If you read her article, it sounds like it nearly destroyed her. Friends, are you seeking after a false god? I mean, it's subtle and it's sneaky. You know, you can start with good intentions. I'm sure Carolyn did. But you find yourself worshipping at the altar of success. You know, success in your job, success in your family, or your sport, or your church. What is the thing that's got you running? What's got your anxiety levels in overdrive? What keeps you awake at night? You know, we're all busy people. But friends, if true rest comes through obeying the King, through trusting God, why? Why is it we seem to get caught up in the stuff that distracts us from Him? We need to hear the words of Psalm 4 today. If you're tired of running, tired of trying to please people, tired of being angry, tired of being sick or lonely, hear the words of Psalm 4. Don't turn to false gods that the world offers. Don't turn God's glory into shame by ignoring Him. And this is not some hollow consolation. Distress turns to peace, restlessness to rest, anger to silence when we trust God, when we know that Jesus rescues us. We too can be confident that we will lie down and sleep because the Lord makes us dwell in safety. And just before I finish, maybe you're afraid today, restless, because of what might happen if you died today, if your body died, and you came face to face with God. You know you've made mistakes, and you know you're not good enough. Well, friend, if that's you, tremble. Tremble before God and do not sin. By this I mean, do not reject the King. Do not reject the King today, and your trembling will turn to rest. Trust Jesus, who offered the righteous sacrifice for you, and you will lie down and sleep because the Lord makes you dwell in safety. It's done for you. You don't need to be racing around trying to be good enough. Jesus, God's appointed King, makes you righteous. So Psalm 4 is a celebration. Actually, it's an anthem, a triumphant song for those who find rest that the Lord gives in Christ. We can and should sing Psalm 4 today. Use it to remind us of the safety we find in Christ as we face sin and opposition to God's rule in our lives. So today, let's each and every one of us rise to our feet, join with God's people throughout history to sing this great anthem. Proclaim to the whole of creation that rest is found in a restless world through God's appointed King. King Jesus, who says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Let's pray. Loving Father, we confess that we get tangled up in things that distract us from you. We get involved in things that cause us anxiety and stress, and we worry and we try and fix stuff ourselves. But Psalm 4 reminds us that rest comes when we come to the King, when we're his subjects. So, Father, we come as subjects of our Lord Jesus and ask for rest today. In Jesus' name, amen.